going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckert, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This hour of Flames Talk underway with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Mr. Gilbertson, happy Monday, buddy. It is Monday, October 28th. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast.
The rare game Monday.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of game day Mondays,
no.
Do we? Especially this season.
Yeah, it's usually pretty light on the calendar, but here we go. Monday game.
As the Flames get set for this two-game road trip, which begins in Vegas and concludes in Utah on Wednesday night, look who's atop the Calgary Flames scoring chart. The only point-per-game player on the team is Rasmus Anderson, with 10 points in 8 games, including 4 goals. On all 4 goals, Rasmus Anderson, Razzie Death Stare on top of it, including the most pronounced one yet with his 2-2 goal in the second period of Saturday's loss to Winnipeg.
What wasn't the best part, the way he slammed on the brakes?
Oh, yeah, and then went back.
When he spotted the fan in the Jets jersey. Hilarious.
And just with a massive smile on his face this time. He couldn't even keep the smile to himself.
And good on her. She was such a great sport about it, too.
Yeah. And then you saw her after the Jets win. She had a big smile on her face, too. It was pretty funny, the whole thing. We asked the question last week. Vix and I got into it. What the heck has gotten into this guy? Not the death stare stuff. Where is the point per game, Rasmus Anderson, 10 points in 8 games? Where is this coming from? Scores again on Saturday, 10 points in 8 games, and that's a pretty significant number too, isn't it? You've dug up another Wes Gilbertson Incorporated stat that I will steal but always credit for.
Well, and this comes from the live updates on the NHL media website, so don't give me too much credit, but Rasmus Anderson, now with 4 goals and 6 assists for 10 points, is the first Flames defenseman since Mark Giordano in 2013-14 to have 10 points in fewer than 10 games.
So to start the season.
Yeah, we're talking about something that we haven't seen in a decade, and that, for those who don't remember, was a pretty special season for Mark Giordano, not his Norris Trophy winning season, but another hell of a season from Giordano, and just... A really impressive clip. I got to be honest, I didn't catch it. So I'm curious, when you and Vix were talking, what'd you come up with? What's the secret?
Well, let me play you this first. This was you asked Raz on Saturday following the game. And, you don't really like to talk about this after losses, but I mean, another goal for you. Where is the offensive explosion come from? And this was Rasmus Anderson Saturday night.
Just trying to join the rush as much as I can, and you know, me and Baller are out there quite a bit against the top lines, and I know they don't want to defend, and so we try to make them defend, and then just join the rush as much as possible, and when I have a shooting lane, I try to take it, and yeah, the puck has been going in to start.
So, a couple of things. Number one, I do think, and you heard Razzie mention it right there, I think Kevin Ball has been a really good foil for him. I think the way Ball plays and being a almost strictly stay-at-home guy, and I know there's been a couple of times when he's jumped up on the rush, had that 2-on-1 opportunity against was it Pittsburgh or Carolina? I don't remember who it was.
Right.
But was
I don't remember either, but I know the one you're referring to.
But Ball's mostly a stay-at-home guy. He's mostly, you know, back in his own zone, and I think that the way he plays into Raz taking a little bit more in terms of risk or getting that green light or being comfortable to take the green light a little bit more. So that would be one thing that I would point to, because I think that pairing, Uyghur's been very, very strong, but I think he's had a couple of different partners. He's played with Barry. He's played with Miramanov, of course. I just think as a pairing, Anderson and Ball have been Calgary's number one pairing. No questions asked.
Couldn't even argue it.
And the other thing is, I think the whole idea of, hey, we need you. We need you even more. I remember Mackenzie Weegar talking last week, and I asked him about, you know, now that Noah's gone, Noah Hanifin, now that Chris Tanev's gone, Zadorov's gone, now that, you know, these veterans are no longer here, you two are the veterans, and it's a pretty big drop experience-wise to everybody else, Barry notwithstanding, but he's not an experienced Flame. Like, you two are you're the old guard now. How much have you embraced that opportunity? And basically, what Mackenzie said is, we've been waiting for an opportunity like this. And then Rasmus came out and kind of said the same thing. Like, you know, it's something that you learn under Brody, you learn under Giordano, you learn under guys like Tanev, and then you get the opportunity to be the guys. And I don't think there's any coincidence that, you know, Craig Conroy, Ryan Huska going to the six veterans, and in this case, let's talk about Rasmus and say, hey, you're the guy. Like, mm-hmm. We need you to play huge minutes against top lines on both sides of special teams. Like, we need you to be a standard setter. We need you to lead the way. We need you to take your game to another level. And I think that I don't think it's a coincidence that message gets delivered to somebody who cares like Raz does, and he's delivering, because I think that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of the points you just made, but to kind of go through them, I do think I suppose, Kevin Ball factor has been really significant in Rasmus Anderson's offensive production so far, and the reason I say that is because I think Rasmus Anderson is quite comfortable being either partner, in the sense of he's comfortable being the guy who can take some chances, who's going to join the rush, who is going to take risks and use that green light when he has it. And he's also comfortable being the guy who sort of leaves the green light on for his partner. You know, when we've seen him play with Mackenzie Weegar, when we've seen him partnered with Oliver Shillington in the past, he was very much the stay-at-home guy. Hey, I'm gonna be here. I got your butt covered, and you take the risk. But that's Kevin Ball's role. And I do think that you're seeing Rasmus Anderson take that green light and really run with it. And then, you know, you talk about the meeting that Ryan Huska had with those six players, saying, hey, this is not only our letter wearing crew, but this is our leadership. This is our sort of new core for the time being. It's on you guys to lead. And, you know, I think in Rasmus Anderson's specific case, the next step has then been not only Ryan Huska saying, we need you to be a really key guy, but Ryan Huska leaving him in some of these offensive positions. I know that Rasmus Anderson has not always been the best fit for the power play. He's had opportunities to run a power play in the past and has had those taken away. And yet I know he believes he can do that. I know he takes a ton of pride in it. And I think if this team went out and signed Tyson Barrie and immediately took Rasmus Anderson off the power play and he didn't see any more shifts on the man advantage, that would have really been sending the wrong message. I think if they put Miromanov in that spot right away and didn't give Rasmus Anderson the first sort of crack at running a power play, I think that would have sent the wrong message. And his production's not coming on the power play. I don't know how many of those points. I should have pulled it up so I could reference that. But, you know, we're not talking about a guy who's piling up secondary assists on the power play, and that's where the offense is coming from. But I do think the show of confidence from the coach that, hey, not only are you an important guy.
Not a single
point. Not a single, yeah.
10 even strength points and a +6 for Rasmus Anderson.
And so just the kind of show of confidence, yeah, when we tell you you're a key guy, it's not just the shutdown minutes. You know, they sent him to Edmonton to play in an exhibition game so he would basically be ready for that workhorse defensive role. And so I think giving him that sort of carrot as well of leaving him on the second power play unit for now, I think that was a bit of a confidence booster. And, you know, we're seeing a guy who has been told by Ryan Huska going back to Stockton to shoot the puck more. He's taking his opportunities. And, you know, I hope he keeps it up, because I love the stare down. I can't get enough of it.
More stare downs, please. every home game on our Flames Talk postgame, a member of the coaching staff comes in and sits down with us. And on Saturday, it was Kale McClain, and he was asked about, you know, has Rasmus Anderson taken his game to another level here?
I think he has. I think he looks really strong out there in terms of his... his puck play is really good. A, he's shooting pucks. He's looking to shoot often. And B, like he's, you know, when he rushes the puck or when he's able to grab pucks downhill in the offensive zone, maybe on a rim retrieval, he is doing a good job of keeping his feet moving and producing a next play as a result. He's not trying to do too much. He's just being simple, thinking about the net, trying to direct his attention at the net. And he's made some really strong plays, not only individually that we saw a few different times, but also by just generating shot volume and creating off of that. So I do think his game has taken a step this year. He looks light on his feet in terms of he's strong on his feet, but he just looks like he's jumping into the play a lot and being offensively active at the right times.
Just adds to my opinion. That was Kale McClain on our Flames Talk postgame show Saturday, available wherever you get your podcasts. Just adds to where I am already. Like I am fully of the belief that the Flames should be making Rasmus Anderson and a long-term extension a priority. I know there are some who are like, well, he'd be a great trade chip. And while I don't disagree that he would be a great trade chip, I think it makes far more sense to extend a drafted, developed player who has turned into one of the most important players on the ice every single night. Those are the types of guys,
yeah,
in my mind, you keep, especially in this market where a lot of guys have walked away over the last number of years. Raz is a guy that I'm trying to keep, and yeah, he's probably close to doubling his AAV with the type of player he's turned into on a 7-8 year deal. But I'm trying to extend him, and I'm trying to make him as close to a Flame for life as you can possibly get in this day and age.
He'd be my next captain. That's
on top of that, I agree with that.
Yeah,
agree.
That's how highly I think of Rasmus Anderson. I know. I'm trying to remember how long, you know, a week and a half or so ago, Frank Saravalli, who we often have on the program, said the Flames have been looking for a center. You know, the rumor sort of runs from there. And I saw a few things on social media saying, wow, maybe Rasmus Anderson, they could get this young center or they could get this young center. And I'm thinking to myself, if the moment you trade Rasmus Anderson, you've left a gaping hole on your team. And, you know, we talk about, okay, well, now we got to go find another Rasmus Anderson. I think the sort of total package that he can be, he is just so difficult to replace. And he's 27. He still certainly fits the window to contend here. I get that he'd be a valuable asset. He's got a great contract. I think you'd have a lineup of teams trying to trade for him and willing to offer you a substantial amount, but you're going to need some guys in his age range and with his ability level for whatever comes next. And quite honestly, if he is willing to be here, and that's going to have to be a question as you talk extension, you know, do you want to stay? Do you believe in the direction we're going? But as long as he nods his head, I would not consider trading him. I think you'd be foolish to.
Yep. You and I are on the same page on that front. Goaltending rotation continues for the Flames on Monday when Dan Vladar is set to get the start against the Vegas Golden Knights. He and Dustin Wolf have flip-flopped through the first 9 games, which you would then stand to reason that Wolf would go Wednesday in Michael Backlund's 1,000th NHL game. This was Ryan Huska Monday morning when asked about the goaltending rotation.
They're both playing really well right now, for sure. But as I said before, eventually there comes a time. But right now we feel with the way the schedule has been and the way it's shaking out to be over the next two and a half weeks, it's a busy time for us. So keeping both guys in the net, I think, will be important.
And it's probably going to be a tandem all year, Wes. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think at any point one guy's going to all of a sudden eat up 9 out of 10 starts or anything like that. And as of right now, with the way both guys are playing, why wouldn't you just keep the rotation going? And maybe at some point that does change based on scheduling. As the coach said, they don't really get out of kind of the every second night rhythm until the third week of November, second, third week of November. So for the time being, going back and forth, maybe outside of a shutout is the way to go right now, I think.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if we were sitting here in the week leading into Christmas talking about a team that hadn't given a goalie more than two consecutive starts. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if we were having that conversation. Like you said, maybe a shutout, and you roll with that guy. Maybe you've got a flu bug and you want to give whatever guy it is an extra day to recover before you put him back in the net. But I genuinely believe we could be sitting here around Christmas time talking about a team that has, with very few and very short exceptions, continued to rotate their goaltenders because it's been working. I spelled it out in the round table today why you want to limit the workload for both guys. You got one coming off hip surgery. You've got one who's never been a full-time NHLer before, who's sort of getting used to the league still at that time. If they both end up around 40 starts, I think that's just perfect.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of the way that it's trending right now on top of everything. And finally, Monday night is the 999th game as a member of the Calgary Flames in the career of Michael Backlund, which means Wednesday, my math tells me that Wednesday in Utah, Michael would hit 1,000 NHL games. He would become just the second player in franchise history to play 1,000 games with a flaming C on his chest, and 82nd in NHL history to play 1,000 with the same team. The latest one to do that was a couple of years ago when Claude Giroux hit 1,000 with the Flyers, like days before they traded him to Florida. Giroux hit 1,000 with the Flyers. So Claude Giroux, the last guy to hit 1,000 games at the same team. Michael Backlund is poised to do that on Wednesday. We're planning lots. I mean, tomorrow, Tuesday's show is going to be at least 1 hour really heavy on Michael. And then obviously Wednesday will be a lot about him in Utah. So just want to say congratulations on 999 for Michael. It's the last time he'll be in triple-digit NHL games.
And congratulations to you, buddy, because your math is not that often correct, but you nailed this
nailed
one.
Nailed that one. I needed Shan to help me out. Thank you, Shan. That was very helpful for me because I very much needed it. Okay. Flames talk on a Monday, and it's Pat and Wes coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Monday edition of the program continues with Wes Gilbert to the Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. It's a Monday, which means it's time to check in on the number one affiliate of the Calgary Flames, the number one team in the American Hockey League as it stands here in late October, and the hottest team in the American Hockey League. After dropping that first game, the Calgary Wranglers have rattled off 7 in a row. They're now 7-1-0. That includes home ice wins over the weekend over the Colorado Eagles, 3-2 and 2-1. The head coach of the Calgary Wranglers joins us every Monday on Flames Talk. His name is Trent Cull. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Mr. Cull, how are you?
I'm good. I got a little warm and fuzzier after just kind of rhyming off all those stats, actually. So,
I would imagine as a coach, you like hearing those things. I would imagine that you were pretty happy about the weekend as well. Tell us about a couple of games against Colorado, Trent.
Just, you know, it was good. I think it was a really good challenge for us because that's the fastest team we've seen yet. They have a lot of speed. You know, the organization, as anybody watches the Avalanche or whatever, they have a clear identity, and they want some guys who can move around the ice pretty quickly. So I thought kind of took us a period there the first night to get our legs underneath us, and I thought we got a little bit better as the game wore on. And I liked the last game. Just like yesterday, it was kind of a classic grindy out game, and I liked it. So I thought it was good for us to find a way.
Well, and that's kind of where I wanted to go with you. The two games against Colorado, even the final game of that trip in Bakersfield, all one-goal wins the last three. You know, the first game against Colorado, you had to come back. But all one-goal games, all really tight games. I'm just like, what does that tell you about your group in the early going here?
Yeah, we kind of like refer to that as Wrangler hockey, right? And that's, you know, sometimes you get used to playing these games like that, and then it helps you down the road because we all know we'll go through call-ups and injuries with both teams, and our team will get a facelift probably in a month or two or whatever happens, right? So the guys that are here and know how to play it and kind of hang in there and, you know, make sure we don't change our game. And I think that's kind of what we're learning as a group together right now. And we have some good goaltending, too, that kind of always kind of keeps you tight in those games.
You're also in the midst of an eight-game homestand. I'm just curious, and we talked last week about how the scheduling and how Brad Pascal did a really good job of kind of working with the American League to make it so that the scheduling's a little easier on your group so you're not getting absolutely crushed by some of the travel you went through last year. But to have eight straight at home, how much of an opportunity could this be for your group?
You know what? I haven't really looked at that so much as more. It's kind of like we're kind of in around 14, 15 days where we're going to play 7-8 games, right? So that's kind of been more, I'm kind of more managing the group right now than I am normally in October because you don't play this much, right? So that's kind of the directive right now. And, you know, if good things happen, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't give into a lot of hoping and thinking or too far ahead because I'm always more immediate of how's our team playing, what are we doing, and
yeah.
I'm more shift to shift, to period than I am to looking too far down the road.
Fair enough. And I, Trent, I'm curious as to you get another addition to the group as Matt Coronato joins your group. He does not play Friday, but he does get into the lineup in Sunday's win over Colorado. I mean, I guess, what did you see from Matt in his first game with your group this season? And what we obviously saw what he did last year. What can number 27 bring to your lineup overall?
Just, I mean, he's got that, he just sees the ice so well, you know, and then he's moving his feet with the puck and he's making plays and, you know, I thought he started out pretty good, you know, yesterday and maybe tailed off as the game wore on, but also, too, he's probably not used to playing as many minutes as I was throwing at him, too, right? So, and he was playing both power play, penalty kill, so 5-on-5. So, but it's nice to have him. Like, I think he's a really good kid. He's great in the room. Guys are excited to have him around, and guys are excited to play with him, too, right? So I think because he shares the puck really well, like I said, that great vision he has too. So, but and he's a threat. He's always a threat. That's one thing about Matt. If he's got the puck in the O zone, I'm almost like a fan instead of a coach. I want to watch and see what he's going to do next too. Yeah. So,
what? And we asked you this last week about Jacob Pelche, a guy who ends up with your group, and you know maybe isn't in love with the fact that you know he was in the NHL or expected to be in the NHL, and now isn't for the time being. Is it essentially the same thing, Trent, in terms of you know motivating a guy, messaging to the guy, and what you need to do in that type of scenario?
I think that most of these guys, they come self-motivated, which is really nice for me. That's why I love my job because I get to coach the guys that want to get back, right? And so they're ears wide open, eyes wide open. They're trying to do whatever they can to make sure that their game is at the highest level it is here. So it kind of gets them back. And whether it's here with the Flames or someone else, there's always, you know, 31 other teams watching, I feel like, right? So that's the one thing that guys know that, and if they go out and they play their game and they're doing well. And the other thing is that I'm a big preacher of making sure we're checking, like checking well. And you have to check the score, so in other words, you have to get the puck back. And if you're doing that, I think that's always kind of helps you and prepares you more for the NHL than it does as opposed to just maybe focusing on offense or, you know, maybe stats or numbers while you're in the American League.
Yeah, and the last one, and not even just specifically on Matt here, Trent, but just overall, I mean, you've been a head coach in the American League before. You're very used to the scenario. I mean, we spoke all last year about the adversity your group went through and some of the lineup changes you had to make and guys coming in and out, so on and so forth. Just knowing your experience at this level and in your job at this level, like, is it, I would imagine it's different for each guy who is with your group, who maybe comes from the NHL and is placed on an AHL roster. But for you, is it generally, or are there some general things that are the same in terms of dealing with that? If there's some hurt feelings or some frustration or whatever the case may be, like I'm curious your experience, because you've gone through it as much as you have.
Yeah, you know what, you've got all different kinds of personalities, right? And sometimes it takes guys a little bit of time. There's a little bit of adjustment period, and you know, and that's okay too. You know, I don't think guy comes down and let's say he doesn't have the dominant weekend we're hoping he had. Well, you know, I can't go jump down the guy's throat either, right? Hey, like, this is some things I saw. We kind of talk of like, and it's, I think it's just having a, just like we have a conversation, you know, there's two sides to everything. And sometimes I think guys come down like instantly armed, they're ready to go. Sometimes some guys, you know, need a couple days, need a couple weeks. And the other thing is too, you got to find your chemistry with your group or your line or your partner, right? So that might take a little bit of time too.
We are chatting with Trent Cull. He's the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, riding a 7-game win streak right now. Joining us here on Flames Talk, it's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on a Monday. Wes?
Trent, I want to ask you about a guy that we don't ask you about too often, and that's because he's 28 years old, and you know, there's a tendency to focus more on the guys that we look at as, you know, up-and-comers and prospects, but Clark Bishop goes out this weekend and scores the game-winning goal in back-to-back victories over the Colorado Eagles. I'm curious, can you just tell us a little bit about his importance to your group as one of those veteran tone setters?
Yeah, he's a good person, and he plays the right way. And what I mean by that is whether Clark gets the goal or not, but he's usually going to go right through you as opposed to going around you, which I love about him. You know, he's got a heavy compete. He's still like, I love the way he moves, in the sense of like how he's a good skater. And I still think that, you know, Clark can play games in the National Hockey League for sure. You know what I mean? So, and he checks hard. He's good on the PK. He does a lot of the things that, you know, I guess detailed work that we're always asking of our young guys. But I think he's the guy who just does it. It's like it's an automatic. And I tell you what, like, I really liked him and Walker Duehr together. I think they've, you know, quietly they're getting quite a few points. And it's not like they're playing the point game. I think they're just playing really good 5-on-5 hockey, really good penalty killers. They're penalty killing their pairs together. And I've just really liked their game. I think Clark has been just really, I can't say enough about his leadership too and how he plays.
Pat and I spent a good chunk of the last hour talking about the goaltending at the NHL level, just what a strength for the Flames their net minding has been so far this season. I know that's not a storyline that it has just applied to the big league club. Tell us a little bit about your two puck stoppers.
Yeah, no, I mean, Devin's come in, like, I feel like he had a, you know, a pretty good preseason, like in the short amount of like the window we saw. And I think he's feeling confident. I think he feels comfortable here. I think he's kind of excited to be here. And it's been, I think, just a kind of a really good marriage, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? To start with, he feels good. Everybody's happy to have him. And, you know, and I said this before, like, I think, you know, Mackenzie Skaski and how he's worked with him already. And I think the guys have done a really good job. And then you've got Iggy, who's kind of quietly, because Devin's playing so well, but, you know, he's coming into games. He's still finding a way to win games. He's getting his feet wet in North America, and he steps in. And even, like, the other night, I thought he played the first game. Like, I thought he's a little bit shaky, but then I thought he kind of settled right in the second period, and I thought he was really solid the rest of the way. And so it's a pretty nice tandem for me right now. So it's very good problems to have.
Understanding that you have a terrific goaltending coach in Mackenzie Skaski, and we've heard Jordan Sigalette describe him as, you know, one of the best in the business. He thinks he's the best at what he does in the AHL. But, you know, understanding you've got a guy and his job is to oversee the goalies, how do you as a head coach go about getting to know two new netminders? These are guys you haven't worked with in the past. So what's that, you know, from your standpoint, what's that sort of process like?
It is you know what? I pretty much give McKenzie the reins with the goalies. I stop in and talk to these guys a couple times a week. How's it going? You know, kind of really surface chatter, to be honest with you. Like, hey, everything going well? How's your girl? How's your... And so, but I don't speak goalie. And so, but McKenzie does. And, you know what I mean? Those guys do a great job. And if I have things that, let's say I have concerns or something, or some puck plays or this or that, I'm like, Scapper, what do you think of this? This is okay, great. And he's really dialed in with both of them, and as well as he should be, right? It's the only coaching position where there's one coach per two guys. So they're probably the most well-coached guys, I'd say, out of anyone. So I don't try to butt in there, if that makes sense.
And Trent, I just wanted to ask one more on that front. And, you know, and Wes just mentioned how highly Jordan Sigalet talks about Mackenzie Skapski. The goalie community and some of the goalie experts around the league believe that, you know, Mackenzie is just inevitably going to end up being very good at this craft in the NHL as well. You know, you've now worked with him for a full season plus. I'm just curious your observations and why, as a head coach, you think Mackenzie Skapski, as the goalie coach for your group, is so good at what he does and so good at working with your guys.
I think he's got a great demeanor. You know, I think that rubs off from Jordan too, as well, to Scapper. They're pretty calm and cool, collective guys who, you know, aren't rash and aren't looking to jump the gun. And so I think that's what McKenzie's kind of right in that mold. He's great at what he does, as you guys say, with the goalies per se. And then we've talked, you know, for us, like some of the things that I got him doing some chances for and against work, because I like seeing things through his eyes, because a goalie and what's challenging for him can be converted into what we can do better offensively, right? So we have some things that we're kind of working on all the time. And I've always got him, and I, on the flip side, I think we talked about this in the past too, but I have him looking at our shootout guys, and he's my shootout guru. So I'm like, tell me what the stats are on this guy, you know, if we get a new guy, and what's his odds and whatever. So we go through it a lot. And, you know, I think that's part of his development, as well as all of ours, like broadening our horizons, right? And not just being kind of penciled into one area.
Couple more for you, Trent. I'm curious as to how you've liked, and I asked you last week about kind of managing when you've got a number of defensemen and you've got some decisions to make. But I also found it really interesting, you know, whether it's Brustevich or Kuznetsov, or, you know, you've got some young blue liners with your group right now. On top of, you got a couple of really good vets in Aspero and Tenorti with you as well. How are you liking the mix between your vets and some of your younger blue liners who are developing right now?
Well, it's kind of intriguing, because right now, you know, we've got Brustevich playing with Kuzi, and I really like the way Kuzi's been playing lately, and all of a sudden, you know, this guy's developing into a third year guy, you know, so I've got the same thing, but like, so these guys are almost turning into veterans themselves a little bit, who can play with some younger guys sometimes and already kind of help them out. And so you're right, it's awesome right now, because I feel like we're playing well, and I feel like everybody's a part of it. The young guys especially are like, they're playing quality minutes and a big part of all of it. The only problem is I can only play, you know, six of them, or sometimes seven of them. So, I mean, it's kind of sad that you got to sit one of these really quality, not only hockey players, but really good people, individuals, right? So, so that's the only, again, great problem to have, and we know, and it'll change, we know soon, but that's the only kind of bad part of the job.
And the last thing I'll ask you, Trent, and I'm okay doing this. You know, last year you gave me a hard time when I started asking you about teams coming up, because you're like, geez, Steinberg, we don't play until Friday. Like, give me a break here. I haven't even gone through. But you do play San Diego Tuesday and Thursday this week on home ice. So you're a little bit more in the teeth of it. I'm just curious. Tell us about these next two games on home ice. Tell us about the test that San Diego brings. You'll host them Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah, and Thursday. Just a team that started a little bit slow and then just was in Abbotsford and kind of thought they played really well the last game, 4-1 game. So I feel like they're kind of hitting their stride now a little bit, and they are they're an up-tempo team. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm hoping to keep our guys in check a little bit, but I think that it's one of those things that if we're not ready to play really fast and quick, they're going to be all over you. And I think that they're looking to score a lot in an offensive group. So I think it's one of those teams that we've got to be ready to be transition quickly. And I think we'll get our chances because of that, because sometimes through that comes mistakes. And so if we're patient, it'll come our way. We just got to be ready to match their pace because they're kind of ready to go, an aggressive forechecking team kind of all over the ice.
Great stuff as always, Trent. Really appreciate the chats. We'll do it again next Monday, and good luck this week against that San Diego group. Thanks as always for doing this, hey?
Thanks, boys. Appreciate talking with you.
He's Trent Cole. Always appreciate chatting with the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, the red hot Calgary Wranglers, who have now won 7 consecutive. They'll try to make it 8 in a row Tuesday when they welcome the San Diego Gulls to town. In fact, we have got Wranglers hockey both Tuesday and Thursday for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So if you can't make it, you can listen to Sandra and Maddie on the call. If you can make it, still tickets available. And the Wranglers have been a great show to start the year. 7 straight wins and in the midst of an 8-game homestand right now. 2 games this week, Tuesday and Thursday, both against San Diego, the number one affiliate of the Anaheim Ducks. By the way, Trent Cull joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344 in West. Good start to the season for the big club.
Yeah.
Good start to the season for the number one affiliate. And both teams getting high-level goaltending.
Absolutely.
Devin Cooley has been out of his mind. And it sounds like Sunday's win over Colorado, maybe the quote-unquote easiest game he's had. But in some of those other games, he has been spectacular. I know the Flames and the goaltending group really excited about both the starts for Devin Cooley.
Yeah.
And Valtteri Ignatiev, who has played now 2 games of meaningful non-exhibition Penticton North American hockey, and he's off to a hell of a start as well. So you've got Wolf and Vladar playing well at the NHL level, and you've got Cooley and Ignatiev playing really well in the American League. That's a real positive thing to see.
Yeah, and I know the overall workload maybe wasn't his heaviest yesterday, but Devin Cooley, I believe the game was 1-1 at the time. Devin Cooley made just a jaw-dropping save that sort of stabilized his team in a time that it was starting to kind of slip away from them momentarily. And so, what the save percentage is like 949 or 950.
Yeah, you'll take that.
Whew.
Yep.
For those interested, and I know so many are in what the Wranglers are doing as well. One of the reasons I was at the game yesterday was to chat with Jacob Pelche and Rory Karens. And so you have Rory Karens leading the American Hockey League in goals with 8. You have Jacob Pelche leading the American Hockey League in assists with 10. You got only 4 guys in the league with double digits points so far. Those are 2 of them. Had a really good chat with both. Certainly a little bit of a chip on both shoulders. I think everyone knows where Jacob Pelche's chip comes from.
Yep.
Having cleared waivers. Rory Karens, while he may not have wanted to go there himself, Jacob Pelche pointed out, hey, here's a guy who didn't even get in a preseason game. You know, couldn't even get in on split squad night. And so, you know, if you're interested, check it out. Post media sites, you know, some interesting stuff from both those guys on what's been a really strong start to the season.
Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We got Cam and Shan, our producers this hour. This hour, the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.